Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. In this special guest episode, we welcome in the brilliant Jason DiFulvio. Jason is one of our marriage transformation heroes from the Heroic Husbands Men's Circle movement. Jason, he's married with his wife, Georgia, for the last 22 years and have two kids together. Jason was a member of Heroic Husbands Men's Circles for 9 months and recently said he'd had enough. He came, he saw, he conquered hero style. He had established and created such a substantial and sensational marriage turnaround that he was happy. He tapped and off he went, riding off into the sunset. So it was my own inspired decision. I was like, hey, Jason, man, come on the call, man. I want you to represent the guys, for guys out there, what is possible in what is quite a short period of time. Jason comes to us living in Colorado, USA. Jason DiFulvio, brother, it's an honor and a privilege to have you on the show, man.
Mark, thank you so much. I truly appreciate being asked to join and always happy to have any conversation with you, of course.
Cool. Thanks. Thanks, brother. Jason, we have like one thing from the start, and I don't know how this call is going to go. I just want to like asterisk it out for guys. It's like one special part of my relationship with Jason was I never knew how to fucking control him in the calls that we had together. There's trickster energy that naturally exudes through DiFulvio, and it's dangerous. It's spiky, and that's why I love you, Jason. So I don't know. Maybe, Jason, I don't know what your game plan is here. If you're going to be a polite gentleman for all this call and like give, have you like, how much trickster energy are you planning to throw into works here today?
I didn't come fully loaded. Like I didn't write down anything. I'm literally here to see where this goes, I guess.
Oh man, it's good times. It's one of the key things that I said to you guys, but it's every guy that comes into it is as part of this movement, I want it to be fun. There's like serious topics, if you want to say it's marriage, the love of your life, there's your inner work, there's shadow work. Not every guy is going to feel so happy on the inside. And in actual fact, 99.9% of guys, we're carrying a massive load inside. So it can feel serious. But, man, you really brought that. And I do invite that if it comes in naturally today, that trickster, humorous energy. Jason, I'll start. We'll sort of start at the end because it was your queen when you left the group there a few weeks back. You told myself and the guys in your exit ceremony that your queen had said something, I don't know, was it the night before? I see your head nodding, but she just gave it like it was the synthesis of the work. What right. I'm talking to is the Jason now versus the Jason that she met first. Can you share that at the beginning to give guys a context of like just how substantial it was, the change that you brought about in your 9 months with the guys?
Yeah, and it was after I had decided to leave, but her feedback to me was just so profound that like cemented it in my soul, right? It was and you're always so kind to me. I'm an emotional guy, right? And I can feel it welling up in me now, but you're so kind. And then I play it off with a joke, right? And we kind of, and then we get back together. But yeah, I mean, she told me, you know, we were talking about it ending and am I ready? And yes, I'm ready to move on and take all the tools that you gave me, right? Which was of so many, right? And they're all going through my head, but to kind of start at the end, right? She told me that if she had the option of choosing the Jay that she knows now versus the other guy, right? The pre-changes Jason, she'd choose the new guy, right? She'd choose me now over the guy that she met and fell in love with and married. And that was so powerful, right? It just means everything to me.
It's really the ultimate message. And that's why, like, when you said that, and I know clearly, like, it's obvious for any guy listening in, and it's first person, so obvious and meaningful for you that your queen, the love of your life, would say that. As it's just the ultimate right. feedback. But it's like, it really speaks sort of against this thing that I've heard for years. And I hear guys saying it. It's like, there's always, like, there's this almost all pervasive yearning for the good old days. You know, it's like we want to go back to when we were young, to when we were supposedly free. It's like, and your queen's feedback was, I'd never, like, my queen, Matilda, she's like, Mark,
yeah.
The you that I met, like, I wouldn't spend like 2 minutes in his presence. Like, you were so immature. Right. You were like, you were all smiles. You were all in this nice guy energy. It's like, hey, you, the you of now, Mark. And it really is that beautiful thing that becomes available through shadow work when, you know, as you've powerfully done, Jason, integrating the light, the shadow, the emotional aspects of you, your truth, being able to land that with your own voice, etc. It really just speaks to your queen. It's like, yeah, that's the most attractive force. But it wasn't always like that, clearly, Jason. You know, for every guy coming in, your transformation in 9 months, it's been spectacular, beautiful, riding off into the sunset with your queen now. But who is that Jason DiFulvio in the months, maybe even, you know, the years leading up to reaching out to me, getting the support of the guys within Heroic Husbands Men Circles? Because I just want to make sure I speak for all the guys. You know, it's not just me. There's certain teachings, but it's every single guy in that work. It's like, it's a group effort supporting.
Right.
Take the guys listening in back to who that Jason was, how he was showing up, and despite great intentions, you know, when you look back, what was that Jason not getting right unwittingly? What were his blind spots?
Right. There was a lot, right? I mean, I've gone through quite the transformation over the last year, 11 months to be specific. October 15th, 2022 was the 2023, sorry, was the last time I had a drink, right? So, had been drinking a lot, decided it was time to stop and turn the corner and frankly, right, my relationship with my wife, with my queen was not in the best place. We were teetering on, should we stay together? Should we not? All of my issues, right? I had, you know, I was drinking too much. I was, the other thing, you know, I talk about when I first started, before I met you, it was, don't be that guy, right? That guy who would snap back, be quick to react, always had to be the smartest guy in the room. Right. I always had to have an answer or direction for people that were in my life, whether that was my queen, my kids, my friends, my employees, just, you know, anyone out there. Like, I just kind of had to be the boss. I had to be, all knowing. Right. So, through this work, it's just changed me, and I've become, probably much better, much easier to be around, right? So still trying not to be that guy, but I've learned and through all these changes and the tools that you've given me, it's just a different world today.
You're not going to get away with that answer, man. I'm going to have to dig. Like, that was a politician's answer, DiFulvio. And I was like, I'm trying to dig shit so the guys listening in can know what shit looks like and smells like. You just, You just like did that really nicely coming back to the present.
Here we
But
go.
let's
Are you gonna ask me about my feelings now? I'm
yeah,
sure, right?
you bottom daughter, you know it's coming. It's the most common thing
Yeah,
I
for all
say.
those listening, yes, you are gonna have to talk about your feelings.
Yeah, not one guy, when you say it like that, not one guy is ever gonna sign up listening to this. Like, emotions, I'll save my life, I'll save fucking my marriage, anything but if it has to do with speaking emotions, no, never. So you're talking about that guy. And that guy, and like I get that. It's like there is that guy who has great intentions, but has the quick response, quick answer, sort of avoiding stuff. But take us more specifically into imagine if your beautiful queen Georgia was here, and I asked, "Hey Georgia, yeah, you're in love with the Jason now, the J of today. What answer would you give now that Georgia would be like, yeah, I remember that guy, Mark." People listening in, I remember that guy. She'd have a very specific description of how that J was showing up 12 months ago on a sincere level. And to over communicate with you, Jason, it's guys listening in. Like I know for myself, I didn't know how to articulate the sort of screwed up elements of myself because I had that much shame. I just Before coming to men's work, I just did not know how to articulate my blind spots, how to articulate the shit that wasn't going right. I didn't have words. So I know you've done immense work. This is like really to provide value for the guys listening in. The more details that they can hear of how that well-intentioned but not so functional guy, functional and deep intimate relating with his queen. The more they can go, yeah, me too. Wow, the more detail they can get, the more they can resonate and lean into your story. So
Right.
yeah, I'm inviting as much details. You know, the what do you remember was the on the ground experience, like in conversations, emotionally, what you were able to speak to, what you were avoiding, hey, sexual relating, in and around general attitude. Yeah, I'll put it over to you.
I talked a little bit about telling people what to do, and Georgia will. If she was in the room, she would say, "You should," right? Which is was kind of what that was my go-to, right? You should do this. You should do that with her, with my kids, instead of actually listening and understanding what they were going through. And not that I wasn't, I mean, I was genuinely trying to help. I love, I care. But back to feelings, right? I didn't want to get into people's emotions, right? It was strictly, hey, this is the logic behind it, right? This is what you should do. I'm smarter than everybody in the room, right? So what I've learned through all of this, through all the tools, right? Meditation, I think, is one that I've taken on pretty strongly. And I think it's just been able to quiet the mind a little bit. And I don't have to be as quick to react, and I can sit back and listen, but be heard, be seen, be safe, right? We talk about that as far as what our queens want out of life. And I've really taken that to heart and just listening, right? So think about, sitting on the couch watching a football game together, and she starts talking, and yeah, I hear that she's talking, but maybe it goes in one ear and out the other, or I'm not totally picking up on what she's saying, and I'll give a grunt or a and 2 minutes later I comment about something that's going on the TV that she was just talking about, and she's like, Have you been listening to what they? Oh yeah, of course. I've been listening. Oh yeah, I know you were talking about that, but I was just commenting about and just trying to make excuses, and I just wasn't listening, right? And that is one of the keys, right? It's just really, is she really the most important thing in my life? Do I really want to save this marriage? Yeah. So just listen to what she's saying. What is happening on the TV? Yes, is going on in your world, but she's the most important thing in your life. And when she starts to talk, that's where your attention should go, not to the TV that got, if it's that important, you can rewind it now, right? We didn't have that option that long ago, but
Yeah,
it's.
marriages back in the 80, those husbands were actually justified in wanting to listen to the TV instead. Okay, so you've given me a new insight, my dad. He was okay not listening. He
He's
couldn't
okay.
rewind, the poor bastard.
Exactly. That's just one of the examples, but it's something that I think about all the time. Like now that, I'm understanding this, it's just where are your priorities, right? Where is, the other thing you talk about is presence, right? Presence, progress, protection. And the presence side is ultimate, right? I think that just being there, being in the moment, being understanding where you're at and what's happening around you, as opposed to, yeah, I'm deep into this, big piece of plastic that's in front of me. The human being that's next to you is way more important than that, right? And just, it's a mind shift. Not drinking is probably, helped with that, but it's really just, I care about my marriage immensely, and being able to, switch that. Switch from the I'm present watching this TV show to I'm present in this room next to my beautiful wife, and there's a TV show on over here, right? So it's not the that's not my world is what's happening on the TV. It's my world is sitting right next to me.
Yeah, like you've used it several times, where your priorities are. And
Yeah.
most guys, I know myself, like for years, that TV example, and hey, anything actually, anything and anyone that was in my environment, 99% of the time seemed more important, actually were more important to how I was relating with them in the space than my own queen, than my own kids.
Yeah,
And I was like,
I've
how
done
many
it
guys?
at.
Yeah, it's like, how many guys say, "Oh, but you are my priority." I said it to my queen. I said, "Oh, but like, in the arguments, oh, you don't prioritize me. I do. I'm prioritizing you now." Or, the other day I went shopping. I was like, just bringing this, trailer full of bullshit rationale to, "Oh, but the other day, you told me you needed me to wash up, and I washed up." Like, I'm actually making an argument that will ever make sense. I know I bring it to guys. Okay, well, so you're prioritizing her. You really believe, and I do actually believe, like, this is the blind spot. I
Right.
know myself in those arguments from the 12 years leading up to my wife, becoming infatuated with another guy. I made his job so easy, because I actually believed I was prioritizing her. But what I bring it to guys is, hey, well, okay. You're really prioritizing her. Okay, well, how, the watching the TV type idea. It's like, if you had the single most important client on your client roster, I'm talking like the dude that, like, he goes 50% of your company revenue goes, would you be relating in the room watching TV with him any differently than your wife? And guys inevitably
Of
go,
course.
oh, totally, totally. Your eyes are flickering over. Your ear is like, one ear near him is like pricked. Is he saying anything? Does he need a drink? Did he say anything? Laugh. It's a great joke. Laugh your ass off. Did he say it? Like, you're
Right.
completely locked in. Because why? It's a like that conditioned
That's important
mindset.
To you.
Money. It's like literally important.
I just have another or quick example of the same thing where we're in an airport and we're going to a business event. I know a bunch of people that are going to be on the plane. My wife and I are, walking up in line to get on the plane, and we're in the middle of a conversation. Client, just like you were talking about, is in the next line. They're standing there waiting, and says, "Hey, Jason, blah blah blah." Nothing important, right? Of course, but there goes my attention, right? And we get in our seats, and things are quiet. I'm going, what did I do now? Right? And I have no idea what I did. And luckily we're down the path. I'm in the men's group. I've been doing it for, 3 or 4 months. I'm like, okay, something is wrong. Baby, what's going on? And yeah, I had no idea that I did it. I can't tell you probably to this day what my wife and I were talking about, nor what I was talking about with this client. And there goes my priorities again, right? Like, I just, that attention just got stripped away in a second. And, now I've learned kind of that presence. I can say hi, but I was in the middle of a conversation that I now have no idea what it was.
Yeah, it's such a potent example. I remember you speaking to that in the circle, but the turnaround again, you brought it back to connection. I'm curious in that, there's the part of you clearly that you've trained, and in that powerful culture, every guy is developing that mindset. So you've trained to ask the question, get humble and go, okay, you've done something. So what is it that you do now, Jason, when you notice, okay, something's up, you don't know what it is, but I don't know, like maybe if you're like me years ago, it's like, whatever, I just avoid it, just write it out, fucking watch the movie and just hopefully right. If you can write it out for long enough and just be a charming, just write it out in humor. That's what I used to do. It's like write out in humor and eventually just forget about it and just like sleep it through. And hopefully next morning, distraction, kids, life will just, what do you do now? So I got this essence of, you're on the plane, you're questioning, something's up and you approach it. Can you take the guys through, not just with that situation, but any situation with Georgia now where you realize, and it'll happen, it's like things are a bit off. She's giving you feedback. Hey, just she's pissed, she's upset, you've upset her. What's your process to come back to connection with her?
Yeah, well, here I knew you were gonna want to go into feelings again, right? So here we go.
We can stop this. We can stop this conversation now, man. This wasn't meant to be like a dental appointment all over, man.
No, I love it. I love it. No, I just, it's okay. So I've learned to feel into her feelings, right? And what I mean by that is I don't have to feel the same way that she does, but I want to understand how and why she's feeling the way she is, right? Maybe there is something I can do. Maybe there isn't. Maybe I can just be there with her and I'm sorry you feel that way, or that must have hurt, excuse me, or whatever it is, right, that she's going through that I may be oblivious to, I'm not seeing it, or I know that something happened that day that is bothering her. And so now I'm able to, and if it's me, right, usually I'm apologetic or understanding what's going on instead of immediately just trying to explain it away. right? You know, to your point, like, or just make a joke and move on. It's now the ability to understand where she's at, meet her where she's at, not just listen to her say I'm mad about something, but really kind of understand it and dig in a little bit. Well, what is it about that that hurt you? Or I can see how that would have hurt you, and you know, they shouldn't have done that, or they always do that, or whatever it is, right? Just being in that with her, you know, makes her feel seen and heard, right?
A deep curiosity I'm having in your own words, because you'll know in Heroic Husbands Men circles, I established pretty early on in the movement, I wanted to bring meditation in, but meditation, what I call like applied meditation, you know, I say to you guys in the group intermittently, but like for the guys listening, I don't like meditation just where you sit your ass in a cushion for an hour every day, 2 hours, whatever, but it's not moving the needle in your marriage or in your capacity to be present with those you love the most. I'm like, that doesn't really count for me. So what, in your words, Jason, has meditation brought for you, both within the circle, and I know you reached out to me one and one, like with curiosities about books, and you've spoken
right
in your weekly check-ins. You've really got to work in this in a very practical way. But what has meditation brought for you, in your own words, that's allowing you, dare I say, be at one with your own emotions and what's live in your nervous system?
Yeah, no, it's just brought this calm over me, right? This ability to sit and observe, and you know, in meditation you kind of observe your own mind, and you see these, you know, different thoughts come in, and you don't try to control them, but you know, it's how deep into that thought do you go, or do you realize it quickly that, oh, this thought has come in, you know, back to the breath, and you know, and just kind of calm yourself back down. But I think that's had a profound influence on the rest of my life in my ability to stop that quick reaction, right? That immediate, oh, here's what I would do, here's what you should do, right? There we go again. Here's you should. But now it's kind of, I think it's helped me at home with my kids, with my business, just being able to sit back and think and listen to others much more, because before we started, right, that, or before I started meditating, that I was on to the next thought and my response before they were even finished talking. Right. And now I've been able to kind of slow that down and really listen to what they had to say completely, maybe ask a few qualifying questions or questions around, oh, let me get a little bit deeper into that piece of what you said, instead of just that quick reaction and jumping on to the next thing.
I'm smiling there when you said, oh, like they're not even finished and you have the answer there. Excuse me. That speaks so much to me. I remember countless times my queen, and I still get caught. I do have like a much better momentum, but man, a mix of different things and whatever. But I get caught still.
Yeah.
And my queen will just look at me. She's like, you're not listening anymore, are you? I'm like, it's more sheepish, because I know it's like, it's just going to be like, and just fucking knocked out of the water completely. It's like, you know, it's like, well, she's like, you're not. Stop trying to kid. I'm like, yeah. No, I'm not. I was like, sometimes she catches me. I actually catch myself now. And it has become my practice, because I know that still has this momentum of like just shooting off with thoughts. But many times, Jason, I'll catch myself going, my thinking is almost that loud in a way that I haven't I haven't heard what Matilda said for a sentence or two. And I literally will just go, hey, baby, I've just been caught in my head. I haven't heard one word you have said the last two or three sentences. I remember the first time I tried that, I was thinking she's going to knock my head in two. She's going to split me in two with a frying pan. Right. She's going to like, and the funny thing was she actually really appreciated it because it took the pressure off her trying to hunt my ass down to just like, come on, you're not listening. She really just was like, okay. She sort of rolls her eyes to heaven. Okay, go on. Right. You know, can you please repeat what you just said? I want to be fully present. But she'd smile. Yeah, go on.
No, same thing, right? Like I just to add to that, we're men. We're not perfect, right? Like I have to like remind her sometimes, yes, you know, she'll catch me. She'll catch me in doing whatever, not paying attention or whatever it is. And you just, yep, I'm, you know, understand it. See it within yourself, right? That, yeah, you're not perfect. And sometimes I have to remind her, like, I'm not perfect. I'm not going to be perfect all the time. Yes, I'm working hard, but I am not this perfect being. I'll never be that way. But give me the feedback, right? And she's been much, much better at giving me that feedback in a way that she's not upset by it. She kind of sees that I'm working, I'm trying, I'm gonna screw up once in a while, but you know, I think now 9 months later, you know, she's able to see that I am doing the work, I am prioritizing her, I'm having a moment, right? I'm having one of those moments where, yep, I slipped up, and then I, you know, kind of get back on the horse. And guys, just out there, apologizing once in a while when you kind of realize that you screwed up, it means a lot to your queen. And you'll find that it, you know, kind of humbles you a little bit that, hey, you are human. But you know, if you show day in, day out that you're trying, it's going to get better.
Yeah. I'm going to jump in there because you've actually spoken the two most important things. There's the feedback and the saying, sorry. So you have it all there, but just for guys listening in, it's absolutely true what Jason is saying, but only if you practice what he said preceding the apology, which was seek her feedback. Because I know myself, Jason, and I think a lot of guys, they're saying sorry, but there's the quality of the sorry. You know, like there's the saying the sorry, like because a lot of dudes would listen in, and I know myself for years, I was saying sorry to her. But like the intention behind my sorry was like literally a voice going, would you just shut up now, woman? I can't take any more of your rationality. I'm saying sorry because it's like my last straw attempt to just end this conversation. That's not the sorry that Jason is speaking to. It's the sincere sorry with that beautiful word of Jason saying humility, you know, just going, you did screw up. It is on you. And the seeking feedback, that is like the absolute essence. The feedback for me, again, like it's come up in this conversation with you, Jason, but you know, the professional comparisons, you know, if you want to get ahead in work, like you seek feedback. It's like the number one, pretty much the number one thing. If you want to impress, like, you know, somebody that's in the role ahead of you, you seek feedback. Hey man, this is the role I'm in. How can I get better? I want to get better so I can make your job as my managing director easier. You know, like you're the lead salesperson in training. I want to be knocking out of the park so you don't have to worry about me. Have you any feedback how I can sell better? Like,
right.
There's the immediate thing. It's like, and guys know in the work, well, most guys know in work, they mightn't practice it, but it's like, that's how you get ahead. That's how, if you want your boss to like you, seek feedback, because you instantaneously are making that boss's job infinitely easier because very few people are aggressive in seeking feedback. But that's like the game. And I know clearly, Jason, like that has been a key secret for you. You're mentioning here is like that seeking feedback. What was the journey like for you in beginning to seek feedback from your queen? Was that an easy journey? How do you go at that? What does that look like and sound like to guys listening in? Clearly you're doing it well.
I'm doing it well now. Wasn't always that way, right? I'm smiling. You can't see me because I'm not on video, but I'm smiling about this because I think I got the first, I just got a part of it in the beginning. And I can remember my queen telling me, stop saying you're sorry. Like I was saying, I'm sorry all the time. Like I was always sorry. and it wasn't going anywhere. And she could feel like maybe it was that there was that hollowness that you were talking about that was behind it, that I was just saying sorry to say sorry and stop us from fighting, right? But now it's, well, to your point, ask about what's going on, right? Dig in, understand what's really happening, and then internalize that, right? Look within yourself and do you see that you did something wrong? And if so, then you've got, I say, you know, then you've got permission to apologize, right? It's almost like, you can't apologize for something if you're not actually 100% sure what you did wrong, how you can correct it, and how you can avoid that going forward. So to your point, like, don't just say you're sorry to say you're sorry. Really mean it, but to do that you've got to understand what's behind it through asking those questions and understanding.
Yeah, that's there's so much power for guys listening in with that. You know, it's like I love the black box thinking metaphor. You know, it's like that plane goes down, black box, most people are aware, it's like, oh, they go to all of these lengths to retrieve the black box, because why? You don't want the ship, or you don't want any plane to go down in the future if it can be prevented, which it's bloody good thinking. But the black box, it's ruthlessly objective. They're not taking it out going, you know, we're just going to shame the seven generations coming after that pilot, or we're going to like, just, no, it's to be ruthlessly objective to go, hey, something happened. That's clearly not ideal. We're going to get to the bottom of this, and we're going to get black and white with, okay, what went wrong? Your question is like, what went wrong, and what can you do differently next time to prevent that? And keep it really right. Black and white. Like, and hence, it's really clear for me that, you know, when I hear you break it down like that, that is your inner world process. Well, that just makes sense that your queen is giving you that beautiful feedback. Hey, the Jason of now, the Jay of now versus... Because that level of thinking, when you start doing it as a guy, I say it like, you know, my queen is never looking for perfection. She'd be fucked if she was. But it's like
mine too.
Maybe I'm just deluding myself. Maybe there is a better level out there. But it's like, so long as you're searching as a guy, and your queen sees your human searching off. There's just a nudge to a better place. There's a nudge to a better way of communicating. There's a nudge, you know, no matter what level you're coming into this, like what you're saying there is like, well, now you have a repeatable process. Okay. Don't say sorry until you understand those, you know, those answers to those questions that you're saying, and then sincerely, and then you build the blocks on that, and the apology will be received because she knows it's sincere. My curiosity goes to the meditation idea again, because again, there's in that, to do that process successfully, you've got to be able to ride out the initial waves of awkward, sometimes shitty feeling, judgmental thoughts to actually get to that nugget of having the humility. You know, in the movement, Jason, where I brought it to you guys, the blame, shame, and claim ratio, you know, in moments of conflict, the percentage. Have you any, I didn't take record of this, but have you any memory of, in moments of conflict, in moments of it just got super intense back, you know, over a year ago with your queen, what was that initial report like of blame thoughts against your queen, against the situation, just against shame thoughts against you, the type of, and I know you're familiar with this, but just to over communicate for guys listening in so they'll understand practically what we're talking about. Shame thoughts are against yourself. Oh, I'm such a loser. I'm such an asshole. I've done it again, blah, blah, blah. And claim thoughts are taking extreme ownership, you know, cold, objective. What do I need to course correct? Like the questions you were speaking to in taking feedback. What was that ratio like for you about a year or more ago, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, that was quite the cake batter, right? It was equal parts blame and shame, and maybe a little sprinkle of claim in there. And to be realistic, there was probably no claim, right? I wasn't the problem. It wasn't me. What would I have to claim in that fight or that argument? But yeah, so that was the old me, right? And she likes the new guy better, apparently. So lucky lucky for me, too bad for the old guy. But
I've never actually done this like sort of before and after, but where do you where would you on average, and I know if you're anything like me, man, still wrong time, wrong moment, she picks a fight with me. Like sometimes, man, I'm at like 100% blame. I catch it and I have to take my 10 minutes, but on average, it's quite a bit better. Where are you at the average now? If the average before was any conflict, the emotional avoidance, and your brain just goes to blame or shame, on average, where are you at now when your queen comes in, you know, she has a different opinion than you, whatever, there's confusion, there's conflict. Where does your nervous system go to now in blame against her, shame against yourself, and those claim thoughts just going to that place of full empowerment?
Yeah, I mean, I think that internal, that jump reaction, right, is still like protective of myself, right? And it's not me, but I kind of sit and listen, right? And we talk a lot about the mountain and the storm a lot of times. And I just try to be as non-reactive as possible. I'm still, you know, defending myself, right? I still have that shield up, trying to deflect those arrows that are being hurled. But yeah, I've been able to, like you know, like we talked about already, is kind of just asking questions and understanding where she's coming from. And once in a while, I'm right, right? And we, you know, work through it and resolve it. And I'll tell you just a quick story about that. And we literally just had a little spat this weekend. No big deal, but I was away and working, and I wasn't as communicative as possible, you know, but being pulled in 10 different directions. But yeah, I could have slowed down and picked up the phone and said, "Hi, babe." Right. And she was hurt by it. And so anyway, we kind of, she gave me that ferocious feedback that you always talk about. And I disagreed with it. I was working hard and, you know, but agreed with her in that moment that, yeah, I could have slowed down a little bit and gone through this and reached back out or, you know, talk to you before you went to bed or whatever. And, but as we kind of talk through it, and I was still upset because there was some, I took the ownership that I could out of it, but I still felt like she had a lot of ownership in that. And we're kind of going back and forth at it in the car ride home, and we kind of got to this place where we were like at the end of this conversation, and she was like, "I'm sorry." And I wasn't expecting it. I was kind of hoping for it. But my immediate reaction was that had to be hard for you, right? Like, for her to actually be vulnerable and apologize. And then we joked about it and hugged it out and all of that afterwards. But like, her apologizing was everything that I needed. And I think my reaction to that, like, that had to be hard. Like, I'm glad that you did that and let that out. And it was over, right? It was over after that. But I just thought that was a great moment to share with this, that it was like, we talk about it in the group, right? Where it's like, why doesn't she go to heroic wives women's group, right? I just made that up on the spot, so copyrights reserved. But like, we always think about that, right? Like, why aren't they doing this work? Well, we're working on ourselves. But it's great, and I think just amazing for the entire relationship to recognize when you see that in them as well.
Yeah, it's I know that was a part in my own relationship, how it unfolded, and was reading masculine feminine dynamics and what's really fucking going on here? Because I knew myself, like, there's been so many times like, Why am I the one saying sorry? Why the fuck? And I know you asked me that in the group. I'm like, countless guys, I think every single guy in the movement at some point sort of exasperated going, hey, I'm doing all this work over here. I'm saying sorry. I'm doing my meditation. I'm the one showing up. When is she going to like take ownership? And I totally, totally get it. Like, I was bitter at times going, I'm the one that has to have humble pie always, you know, like, I'm the one that says sorry, what the fuck? And it's like, even statistically now, it's like, yeah, I say sorry when I drop in, like very like your process, Jason, when I drop in, really feel into it and go, yeah, I'm out of integrity with her, what I said, what I did, what I didn't say, didn't do, etc. It's like, yeah, cool, baby, I'm sorry, what's my intention, but I'm sorry that, like,
yeah,
it had consequences for you. It didn't intend it. There you go. I'm really, I don't know. Statistically, it's like 9 out of 10 sorries. It's me owning my stuff. But I've come, Jason, and I don't know, man. Maybe it's like my read of things. But I do feel that there's this like perfect sense in it. And it's unsexy. Like, most guys, maybe I shouldn't be saying this because guys listening in be like, well, I don't want to be a part of that fucking movement. It's like, I want to be able to still blame my woman and feel good about myself. It's like, well, okay, dudes, it just doesn't work. That's like literally.
It doesn't.
I've obsessed on it to a point where it's like, if it doesn't work, I just refuse to do it. But I believe that it's that part of trustworthiness. You know, there's Justin Patrick Pierce. I had him on the podcast as a guest, and he's big into masculine, feminine teachings, the yoga of intimacy. Really beautiful teacher. One of my favorite guests that I had. That conversation was really transformative for me. But like, he breaks it down to, you know, the masculine to the feminine. As men, you know, in Justin's work with his wife, London, it's like, masculine to feminine, the message is, I love, you know, I love you in that. I love seeing you so vibrant. I love, I love, I love. The feminine to the masculine, it isn't I love, it's I trust. And there's this incredible power in it. And I feel that's the sort of foundation. I'm like, okay, cool. If I'm seeking more sorries from my wife, I'm being a real little 5-year-old boy bitch here, like seeking something. It's like, I'm trying to, it's infinitely more trustworthy to be a guy that you say more sorries, because why? You're working on your integrity of your word, of your actions. You're taking extreme ownership. It's raw masculine leadership. And your integrity practice is that if you're out of integrity, you fucking say sorry, you clean up. It doesn't mean that our wives don't have some moments when, hey, they could have said that nicer. Hey, what they said was actually just untrue and, you know, whatever. And that it is necessary and a beautiful gift that when they say that. But I don't know, does it touch base with how it has worked for you, Jason, that how it worked for me was I can see that the longer I am consistently safe with Matilda, where she can be whoever she is, I'm seeking the feedback, I'm consistently, rigorously, relentlessly safe, she feels that safety that when and if she does have to own something, she can say sorry. Do you make that same link that Georgia is now able to say sorry because she's able to lean in on that pillar that you are going to be trustworthy? Does that make sense in your pattern?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I just think that it's all that work that we've put in, and you know, we were teetering on the edge, right? Where are we going to stay together or are we not? And it's come full circle. And I think, you know, your point about taking 100% responsibility, ownership, you know, and that has transformed or transferred to all aspects of my life, right? Like putting the dishes away, like just all those little things around the house. We had company here this week, and you know, there was clothes strewn around in the guest room, and I'm like, oh my god, like how could they do that? And I'm thinking back, like, oh yeah, you used to do that. It's just that integrity, right? Like just do the thing, put the toilet seat down. Like it's not a big deal. It doesn't take more than 8 seconds to take your clothes from the floor into the hamper. Like you talked about the boy bitch stuff. It's like, I'm not a 6-year-old. Like I can pick up after myself. I don't need her to, I don't leave dishes out anymore. I, you know, just do those, just do all the stuff that you're supposed to do. Like don't expect them to, and we do this as guys all the time, right? We expect them to take care of us. Your wives aren't your moms, right? Like make that, and you do a great job of helping us make that distinction early on.
I'm just here as like proud of you going, you're sounding very much like me. She's not your fucking mom, guys.
Oh, this is part of the cult, right? We learn all these things and we repeat them.
just note, guys, no video, but I cut my hair and my beard, and Jason left the cult because I'm not a cool enough cult. I don't look like a cult leader anymore. Back to sincere point here. Let's get back.
He had the pointy beard. Back to it. But yeah, just like the boy bitch energy, the I need, I want, the, you know, I don't need to clean up. I don't need to mow the lawn. I don't need to take the trash out until she asks me. Like, guys, I'm 50 years old. Like, I shouldn't need to be asked to take out the garbage when it's full. Like, who else is going to do it? I don't want her to do it. And it's just a different mindset. Like, I'm sure I took the garbage out once in a while, but yeah, she would have to say, "Jay, can you take the garbage out?" And sure, I go do it, but like, why do I have to be asked? Like, stop being a little boy, kind of grow up. And that's been a lot of it too, right? I'm sure just me doing those little things around the house has given her that trust that you were talking about, that yeah, he's going to act like an adult male, right? That does the things that he's supposed to do around the house. So, yeah, I think that trust is built, and it's over time. It's not, hey, I'm in class, or, you know, I'm doing this work. I'm going to my men's group at 6 in the morning. That's great, but it's those actions. It's the things that you do every day and how you show up that builds that trust. You're not going to get that trust day one, day two, month one, month two. It's going to take time for you to change who you are in her mind.
Yeah. It really, like, man, you use the idea of like bringing out the bins, the trash, and the dishes. It was, I read Dan DePaney. It was actually one of the books that
I've listened to it one and a half times.
Oh man, he's Dan DePaney's a legend. He's really transformed my life. And when I read that book, there was that one thing, I believe, in my message to you afterwards, that, you know, when I expressed why it was so transformative for me, it was this idea from his guru, which was like, do finish every task to completion. I remember reading that going, this is so, I love things when they're just so simple. And I like, that just blew my mind. And I started noticing going, fuck, you know, it started getting awkward, really awkward, because I'd been doing the work, you know. It's like, oh, here I am. You know, I'm like, I'm a podcast host. I teach this shit. You know, like, I'm meant to be world class at this shit. I was reading that book going, yeah, you know, when I really define, you know, to full completion, it's like you unpack the dishwasher, Mark, but there's those big awkward hooers of pots that you just mysteriously leave there. And you sort of wait for Matilda, or if it's the role reversal, it's like you'll pack it like 65% full, but when it starts getting awkward and you have to reshift a couple of things, like, again, you'll mysteriously go almost like subconscious, just like, well, 65% is like pretty fucking decent. You know, I'll just leave it. Man, I started noticing, Jason, genuinely, I'm like, you're doing more than you ever did. But technically, you're not bringing enough at all to completion. Man, I got to work. Read that book, read it again. I got to work. It's like, just shut the fuck up, Mark. And like, empty the entire, if you start emptying the dishwasher, do it to completion. That's it. If you start filling it, do it to completion. If you're wiping the table, do it to completion. The bins, man, I was about to burst out laughing. That was my queen with me for years. That's been another thing. Last couple of months, I'm like, if I see them 3/4 full, you know, that's a good enough time to just like 3/4 full in the next 24 hours, or do it today if you've got time. And I bring a laugh. It's like my queen.
Yeah.
I bring a laugh because my queen, for ages as in, I'm trying to undercut it, for fucking years, like, she'd probably say no, Mark, for like a decade and a half. She would be like,
how long have you been married?
Yeah. Yeah, like
that long.
Yeah. She'd statistically give it to me in days just to make it seem like heavier. I like Matilda would, like, coming out, like, we're 6 years in this house, and she'd come from the room that the bins are in, and like, she'd be coming out with a big bag, and she's like, am I the only one here? It's like, am I the only one here that ever emptied these? And I'd sort of like semi pretend to listen, semi not, whatever, you know. It's like, I write it out. But like, in the last whatever number of months with Dan DePaney, I was like, okay, get the fucking work, Mark, shut the fuck up, you know. It's bins, you can do this. It's not the Olympics. You can do this. And I, when I'm coming through the kitchen now, I like saying to my wife, yeah, am I the only one around here that ever empties these goddamn bins? Like, man, I make a point. Like, she says, like, she cracks her up. She's like, she gets going, hey, you're doing it like 3 months. I've been doing it like 16 years. But man, it's those simple things. I love your point to the guys listening in. It really does come down to ridiculously simple things. You open your eyes and like your ears in conversation, but you notice as many of the simple things, and you shut the fuck up and you get to work. and you tick those boxes without needing incessant asking, requesting, and you just do it. It's a game changer, that. I love that you've brought that point front and center.
It's just it's those little things. And like I said, that just builds that trust with your queen that, yes, this is the man in my life. He's there. He not only sees me and hears me, but you know, that protection is there. And it's not like you're fighting the world, you're taking out the trash. Like, it's just those little things that, you know, let them know that you're there, you're the man, you're going to do the things that it takes to get these things, you know, to take care of the house.
Jason, you brought up a really key point with protection. You did mention in earlier on presence, progress, and protection. Those three, the trifecta of leadership, masculine leadership pillars that we talk about in Heroic Husbands Men's Circles. You had a really beautiful example in recent times, in your last few weeks of being in Heroic Husbands Men's Circles, about anger, that you brought it to the group. There was, I think there was some email thing, but and you masterfully brought the anger. Could you tell that story? Because it was so simple, and yet you navigated it so successfully, and it was so simple, practical. I think nearly every single guy could resonate. Do you remember that experience, Jesse?
Yeah, I do. And I can tell you kind of the backstory to that. Let me do that for you. Just kind of me in the, this helps illustrate how I, kind of the old me versus the new me, right? We had a contractor come out, do some work. The work wasn't that great. We were complaining about it. My wife was furious. I was also furious, but not like, I wasn't angry about it, but she obviously was. And it was the issue. It really boiled down to me not acknowledging her anger and kind of feeling into that. Excuse me. And, you know, my response was more of that logical response, like, okay, if I go off and start, you know, cussing this person out over email, they're not going to come back out and fix this. And we're going to be left with, you know, shitty work. And I wasn't kind of feeling into, you know, and she gave me the feedback that, and I did respond that way. And I responded, you know, kind of more business-like than pissed off. And, you know, she felt like I wasn't there with her. I wasn't protecting her. I wasn't going to stick up for her or our family. And, once, you know, and then we had this conversation, and, there was a lot to it in the background, but, you know, I've realized you've got to stand up with them. Right. And whether that's, you know, you're out in a parking lot or you're, you know, talking over email, you know, you've got to stand up for your queen. And I think once they feel that protection, that you're there with them and you feel that anger, right, towards that person, and you don't actually have to write, you're a horrible contractor, you're right, and cuss them out back and forth. But when you're in it and you're with them, right, then you can kind of talk it over together and say, okay, I really hate this person. They're an asshole. But we probably shouldn't say that back to them in email. Like, once you're with them and you know you're having that back and forth conversation, then you can talk about, okay, what's the next right action for us to take together to go back after this person and figure out how we get our stuff fixed, right? Yeah. So that's the kind of example that we talked about in our
Yes,
in our beings.
It's that power of, I know this in the work, sometimes in men's work, it's like it gets too much about the feminine. It's like, oh, it's all about emotions. And like, I know you've a lot of laughter with me. It's like, dude, not the fucking emotions again. But it's like, it's not to forget. It's like the real key thing. It's like there is a massive masculine gift. You know, masculine and feminine, man and woman, like we come together when both sides are working in a way, like with full power, full authentic expression, but like the gifts, and the gifts are in the differences, are working. It's sensational. But it is like the simplicity of what you're saying there, for like for me in my world and languages, yeah, you shift it in and you met her in her feminine. Irrational, deeply emotional. She's pissed. She's needing to feel seen, heard, and safe in her emotional human experience. And you meet her there. And when you meet her there, you gift, you know, you're holding space masculine for the feminine. You don't hold back. You're mounting in the storm. And then you, hey. And then you go to the cool, awareness-based masculine. I believe the best
right.
thing going forward is we'll send this email. But it, like, everybody's needs are met and it's juicy. I know guys listening.
Yeah,
in,
one of the things that...
Go on.
Sorry. One of the things that you say often that I'm feeling now is you talk about the women softening into you, right? And just that, like, they're there with you. Like, it's not these two forces butting heads anymore. You're literally in this together, and that's everything.
Oh, beautifully said, Jason Rutter. I knew it was going to happen. When Jason DeFulvio and Mark Usher get talking, it's like there's not going to be a stop. And I'm looking down at my Zoom clock going, oh, I better discipline this and bring it into landing.
We could probably go for hours, right?
Oh, man, so enjoying being in space with you as always. Before you leave, Jason, it's one thing I ask every guy that comes on. Marriage Transforming Heroes like yourself have done the work and you're making it a way of life. I just want to get that in for guys going forward. That's the entire thing. Jason and these guys are making it a way of life. But you've joined, you've done the work, you continue to do the work, clearly. There's going to be many, many guys, literally hundreds of guys listening in, Jason, and they're there. They're listening in, they're like, oh man, I want some of that like good shit for myself. And they'll have inhibitions to be like, you know, fuck, do I have to talk about emotions and, you know, whatever it is. They're wanting it because guys, like, it's bullshit that guys don't want to talk. Guys are yearning to talk. It's just to find the courage and to trust the process. But they can be there on the outside going, yeah, yeah, yeah. But there's a handbrake up. If you're at a coffee table with them, you're shooting the breeze, having a cup of coffee with one of these guys, what would you say to him to support him? Just go, yeah, fuck this, Jason, you're right. I'm going to take a chance. I'll apply to join today. What words would you whisper to him?
I would say, I mean, first of all, you talk about it a lot in your podcast, right? Lone wolfing doesn't work, right? Just not being, having a group of guys. I joked about it in our last, when I was leaving, right, that I was paying for a bunch of friends to talk about my marital problems. But no, just having that core group, those guys that you're talking to every week and you're hearing their problems and wow, this thing resonated with me. I'm sharing my problems and three guys' hands go up like, oh, I feel like the same way. Like, having a group to talk to. And Mark, you've delved into this more than anyone, right? And you've been reading the books and doing the research and listening and going to conferences. Thank you so much for doing the work for us, right? But then you bring everybody together and these groups it's transformed my life. I appreciate it. I've told you I love you. It's transformed my life. It really has. But on the flip side, like, all the help that you've given me, I've transformed my life, right? I did the work. I've not joined this group and sat back and listened. I've literally joined this group to save my marriage. So I jumped in 100%, wanted to engage and interact in the calls, and probably once in a while more than you wanted. But yeah, I like that comic relief. Like, we're in this, we're trying to save our marriages, but we all have to smile too, right? And it you bring that yourself into it. And one of the things you said early on, I know I'm rambling, but excuse me, one of the things you talked about early on was making yourself happy. And it's so important that you're happy. You have to be happy to be able to make those around you happy. And that's what I've really focused on, and just try to keep people smiling, keep people laughing. We're trying to save our marriages, but you got to have a little fun in it too, right?
Oh man, it's beautiful words. Not rambling, man. And if it is rambling, it's fucking damn good, beautiful rambling. No, man, there's no rambling. It's soulfully felt. And you're what I love about bringing you on, Jason, and it's every guy in the movement. I said it to you beforehand, and I'll say it again, for guys listening in, that I'm actually shying away from. I'm not saying it's going to be the last time having a so-called expert on. I'm like, ye guys, like, listen to the likes of Jason, guys, regular dude with a willingness to do irregularly deep inner work. And I love his accuracy, Jason, your accuracy of going, yeah, cool, Mark, thanks for doing the work. Thanks to the guys. Thanks for doing the setup, bringing the guys, the format together. And it's also true, it has worked because you attacked the work. You get in the right environment, right support, join mindset of guys, heart set. The platform is set, but you got to do the work. And that is the gauntlet, guys, that Jason is putting down to you. The miracle doesn't happen. Like, Heroic Husbands Men's Circles doesn't create miracles. I'm pitching it as setting up and progressively getting better, better. The world's best platform. The world's best environment, hopefully the best goddamn looking leaders on the planet. I don't know. It doesn't fucking matter shit. Like, I might bring the guru beard back, to try and get Jason DeFulvia back on board, but none of that does shit. However, if you have the willingness, like Jason did, what was it? 10 months ago, 9, 10 months ago, a long, long, ever-expanding list of marriage transformation heroes that are coming through. There's Jason today and more and more and more and more to come. If you have the willingness to take 30 seconds out today, click an book an application call, just fucking throw caution to the wind. It takes like 30 seconds of courage, and it will be the single most transformative decision you will make in your adult life. We'll back that up. Put yourself in the position, put yourself in the most powerful environment, and you can and definitely will follow in Jason DeFulvio's powerful footsteps. The gauntlet is set by his lived example. It's over to you guys. We can't make the decision for you, but the gauntlet is set. Jason DeFulvio, brother, this has been a rip-roaring ride. I'm gonna say deeply emotional ride, because I love you too, Jason. And
No, no emotion.
we laughed, and I had a great time, Jason. Thank you so much for coming on, brother.
Mark, thank you. I've told you this before. You helped me save my marriage. Thank you so much.
Receiving with an open heart, man. Love you too, brother. Ending, as always, in perfect alignment with the mantra of our movement. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful Kingly Day.